podcast where we watch the CW Supergirl and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
And this week we watched Season 3, Episode 13, Both Sides Now.
Well, it was certainly an episode this week. I mean, yeah. Technically it came out, I think, like quite a while, months ago.
But to be fair, we have managed, with this episode, we have managed to actually get back on track. It only took them taking like a 2-month hiatus for us to actually be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, just off the bat, sort of what were your kind of just general feelings about this episode? Because I kind of felt myself through the whole thing just kind of going like, I guess I don't even know how to describe it exactly. But I was just like, I was kind of frustrated with the episode and while I was watching it. But then by the time it was over, I was like, yeah, okay, that was fine, whatever.
I think it helps that we are going to get to watch the next episode in a few days. Whereas I cannot imagine people who watch this live going, now I have to wait. Like,
yeah.
I will say there was one performance that I actually thought held up the episode entirely on its own. And the rest of it felt like a lot of different plots. Like, almost all the side plots, except for maybe the Lena and Jimmy romance. That was, like, the only one that was not, like, brought in.
Was not checked in on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in case people have, since it may have been 2 months since you watched this episode, the plot of this episode this week was that Kara and the DEO, they're sure they know who this next world killer is because Kara has seen this lady in her dreams, or nightmare. And so they go to get her, and she doesn't know what's going on. But then she turns into the world killer named Purity. And they're dealing with trying to, once they get her locked up, and they're trying to deal with getting some information out of her. And Alex is being uncharacteristically negative and cynical, and Kara is trying to deal with her on a friendly level. And then also Mon-El is trying to do some car repair.
And also has marital issues.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's basically the episode, right? Oh, and then Sam takes Ruby ice skating and disappears.
Yeah, yeah. Building evidence up against what's actually going on. So I almost want to talk about Alex first, and I feel like we could wax poetic about how off this felt. And I will tell you why. I will tell you why I struggle with it. Because I didn't struggle with it in the middle. Because here's the thing. While we were watching Alex be like exceedingly very like bad cop in the like, I will torture you sort of way, I thought that they were building to, oh, Alex just saw Kara almost die a few episodes ago, specifically because of this force that this woman is a part of. And my thought was, oh, this is her throwing like rationality and caution to the wind and just going into like protectiveness against Kara, because for the first time, like basically ever, Kara could have died, like really could have died. And instead, they ended up building to her basically saying that she's still not over Maggie. And that felt like a really strange thing to go to because it didn't seem to connect to what was happening in the episode. So I wasn't as annoyed about it. I thought that it was like, it was just her character flaw of being incredibly fiercely scared for Kara. And instead it ended up being about her own insecurities about finding someone later, which felt like a complete 180 from where I thought that they were building to. So I ended the episode with thinking like, I don't know what they were doing with Alex this week.
Yeah. I think I thought the whole time that it was going to be something to do with what it was about. Because the other thing would make way too much sense.
And again, I wasn't even bothered by the fact that she went, like, extreme, because...
I was, because it... I mean, it just... I mean, just from... To be like that from jump, and like you said, it just doesn't make sense as, like, that she's acting like that towards someone because of that reason. Because she's upset about her relationship stuff. Like, just does not seem... Like, for her to go, like, I'm gonna start being, like, someone who... I mean, like you said, they... talks about torturing people with, like, just no hesitation. And then being a jerk to Kara about it, you know, and Kara's trying to talk it out with her. And I know that it's basically like, well, if we had them just talk it out at the beginning of the episode,
then they never, there'd be no plot.
There'd be no plot. Although
there was plenty of plot to go around this episode. So I don't know why they were so worried. But yeah, it was, I'm not saying it would have been perfect if it had turned out that her reasoning for it was protect Kara. It just would have felt like more
it
of just, a...
It would have made more sense.
More of an understandable... Yeah, and there would have been... It's like, oh, that's a character flaw of hers to go, like... to go way overboard when it comes to her family. I don't know. It still would have been kind of questionable for her to go that far so quickly. But at least... felt like something that was more reasonable for this particular character. That she's under a lot of stress, that she's worried about her sister, and suddenly this new, like, more forces that could hurt her sister have come up. It felt a little more believable, and it just seemed really strange. But the way that they wrote it felt very off. I will say, and I guess I'm getting the best part of it out early, one of the things that I thought made the episode work in parts was Chris Marshall's performance as Purity and Julia, because it's sad because it's real. I thought it was actually really solid. She has this energy throughout. She feels formidable as, like, this side, and you also really feel for her as a completely normal person, but it also really highlights how little they're giving the actress who plays Rain slash Sam, because, like, they're not giving her a lot of ways to emote. She's supposed to be cold. She's not, like, she seems like a way flatter villain than this character who actually gets to, like, emote and be, like, suddenly I'm like, oh, if this was what...
When she's Rain, she's just, like, a, you know, basically
a
like
drone. A, yeah.
Yeah, just like a killing machine. And then this one has got, like, all this personality, and she's toying with them and that kind of, you know, like, she's...
Yeah, and she seems to have, like, actual reason to do it. Like, she has a point of view about what's going on, and she, like, it just seems like the writing for Rain in particular, maybe it's also the direction, and it could also be the performance, but I tend to try to give the actors a little more leeway, because I know how much those other two forces can affect a performance.
Yeah.
But it just feels like they're not giving Rain a lot to do or to be. She is kind of just like this flat drone of, and it's menacing, but it was really this episode where I went, oh, this is what Rain could have been from the beginning. And it's so much more.
They don't want to play around with the idea that this, I mean, like, they can't tip their hand for, I mean, in the show, they can't tip their hand of, like, oh, it's someone else. That's, I'm sure that she'll have more to do once they figure out that, oh, it's Sam, even though that they haven't figured that out yet. Is
I just wish we didn't have, like, 10 episodes before this, or however many it's been.
Exactly. And I was going to ask, do you feel like we're kind of being, not, I don't know if cheated is the right word, but we're sort of being, it feels a little bit like they weren't sure how they maybe wanted to play some of this stuff. And so, like, the rules of what the deal is with these characters, like, that we as an audience, it's fine if the characters don't know, if Supergirl and the good guys don't know what's going on yet, that's one thing. But when we as an audience are kind of left out of what the actual rules are of how do their changes work? Do they know what's going on? What do they know about what's going on when they're the world killers? when you see that Purity has got this whole thing of like, oh, that's a, that whole thing is a cover story, and
we
blah blah blah. And it's like,
and here's the thing, we know from when we first saw her, like, it muddles things, right? So, like, what are we supposed to know as the audience? Are we supposed to know that Purity is lying to Supergirl, or are we supposed to think, oh, she actually was this the whole time? Because it's pretty clear from both the first part of this episode and the part we saw from her a few episodes ago that they're very distinct people, and it would make sense because Rain is also a very distinct person from her alter ego. So it is kind of frustrating that, like, it feels anticlimactic, because if we're supposed to know and we're waiting for the characters to catch up, that's like the entirety of the episode. So we're just waiting for them to catch up to the rest of us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel, I think that they're trying to build suspense, but like, and some of that has worked with Rain, like, oh, are they going to figure it out now? Is, you know, that kind of worked. But when we know that ultimately in this episode, they were going to figure out that she was, that there's a part of her that is innocent in all this.
Yeah.
It just felt like they were spinning their wheels until that happened in the third act.
Also, I just thought about, I think it would have worked better if they want to have Alex acting like that. It would have worked a lot better if, because eventually, you know, they're going to figure out that Sam and Rain are the same person. And it's like, if they had held off on Alex changing her mind until, like, she's forced to go like, oh no, Sam is my friend, but she's also this world killer. And I know she wasn't just faking with us because she's got a daughter and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that's what they were
going to do. That would have been way more interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that's what they were going to do. But like, then having her change, you know, sort of talk to Kara about it and then be like, oh, you're right, we should believe in people and whatever. I'm really just being super dismissive. I'm not meaning to. I'm just trying to hurry up and get to the point.
Yeah.
But the, you know, have her do that in this episode with a stranger where she's already acting out of character to begin with. And then to have her, instead of like, going, no, this is why she's hurting and this is why she's feeling like this and blah, blah, blah. Which, and of course, again, it would make a lot more sense if it was because she's worried about Kara being too trusting. But if they had done that and kept her acting like that and maybe just like begrudgingly gone along with Kara's plan, but still been like, I still am upset about that. Or, you know, I'm still don't trust the, you know, I want to protect you to the utmost.
Yeah.
That'd be one thing. And then have that revelation when she realizes that it's Sam and go, oh no, this completely throws, I want to save she's my friend. I want to save her. So now she has a reason to go like, okay, I do believe in this person. And that, it just seems like that would make a lot more sense.
Yeah, it does. I also find it, I'm getting to the point where these are people who live in a superhero world, and their friend and somewhat colleague for Lena, is acting really strange and is having like strange things and the glowing red eyes. And I swear if Lena does not figure it out after the glowing red eyes, I'm like, come on, you guys, you live in a superhero world.
Yeah.
You know that there's a bad guy and the timelines match up. This should not be that hard.
Yeah.
You guys are all smart characters. I just,
in theory.
And I think that was one of the struggles I had was when they were like, oh, maybe she's doesn't know that she's a world killer. And I'm like, oh, you guys still haven't figured out that that's their whole deal. I'm just like getting to the point where us as the audience knowing this much is getting annoying when the characters don't know. And I'm like, get on with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm fine with us knowing and the characters don't know if it wasn't so obvious.
Yeah, that too.
You know, it's,
but also it's been a while. It's been a good while, like, and I know that's what it's building up to, and I'm just waiting for them to get there.
This again goes back to the point that I always make that these shows should not have so many episodes.
Yeah, I agree.
There's so much just treading water, and it's like,
yep.
You.
there's not even any of, like, the fun episodes from... I mean, I know that you were not as fond of the Mrs. I can never say his name.
Oh, but,
you
know, Pillay.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yes. I know you weren't as fond of that, but at least that was, like, that was a filler episode that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like, they were trying to do something, and obviously the musical episode was, like, was my favorite thing, even though I think technically it was... I think it was technically a Flash episode. It doesn't matter. It was still good.
It still made me happy. Episode. Oh yeah. No, look, even if I don't like the individual episode just on its own merits, I would much rather, if you're just killing time anyway, have some fun with it. Like, do something crazy.
That's something that I do think that as much as the Flash has problems, it also has, like, it also has side episodes where they'll bring in, like, King Shark again for, like, the fourth time.
Yeah.
Or have something else weird happen, and they do, like, and they allow them to go on little, like, side things while whatever the speed-based big bad for the season. Because it's almost, it's almost always, like, a speed-focused. And he's always faster than Barry, but then how will Barry compete with this guy that's faster than him? Yeah, that's always they go back to that well a lot. But yeah, I wish that Supergirl kind of did a few more of them this season. And it's weird to me that it does feel like they're spinning their wheels quite a bit, and yet they aren't. Like, they could use some more filler episodes that were just side quest sort of things. Yeah. And they aren't doing that much. And I kind of need a break.
I thought that bringing the Legion in would sort of give them... I thought maybe it would give them more to do. But, you know, we haven't seen Brainiac.
Well, our theory... I was going to say, our theory that they're redoing Brainiac's makeup and they just have been having him off screen continues to hold water.
Yeah, because he has definitely not been around.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see if he has a whole different look coming up. I'm still really annoyed because I thought that they were really going to incorporate some of the character's history with Supergirl in the show, and we've gotten, like, none of that. So it, like, unless it, like, really is...
Maybe they got cold feet because of how much, you know, how bad they got dunked on for how goofy Brainiac looked.
I know, and it's so sad because the actor tried to do so much with the performance. Like, there was something really engaging in it, and I'm really hoping that they do something. So, since we're talking about the Legion, so, I don't know about you, but when Mon-El was having the admittedly kind of refreshing heart-to-heart with Jean, just in terms of, like, men talking about their feelings without it being, like, a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was actually kind of a nice...
Yeah, I like that scene. It was...
Yeah, yeah, it worked, for the most part.
Yeah.
But when Mon-El says, you know, nothing about Kara and my relationship made sense, it was very hard for me to not make smart-ass comments to the television. Because, yeah, I agree, Mon-El.
Yeah.
Nothing about your relationship made sense. And then he goes on to describe it. I'm like, you're not helping yourself. You're giving me so much ammo that it's falling out of my hands.
I just was, like, I really thought we were past all of this.
Past this, yes. 100%. And now we find out that, oh, it was a marriage of convenience, and he had to learn to fall in love with her, but it wasn't the same as with Kara. And suddenly I'm like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah, I was
this
just...
This is a stupid... Like, you're putting in this loophole, and I don't... And that's stupid, because why couldn't he have... just fallen for someone else when he had to leave Earth? Why couldn't it have just been that they started out as friends and became more naturally? It just feels like it's a cop-out.
You know, he respected her and he, you know, liked her as a person and whatever, but when they got married specifically, it was to do this thing. This was all just, like, a bad move, though, I think, for the characters.
Yeah,
it was, like,
I totally agree.
We already had all that stuff at the beginning where they were like, oh, and it's awkward and whatever, but they got past all of it. And everyone was just like, yeah, we make a good team and blah, blah, blah. And, like, Kara and Saturn Girl were getting along more and everything was fine. And it seems like they were just like, oh, no, we need something for them to do. And let's just have the relationship stuff be an issue again. And the way he kept saying, it really irritated me the way he kept saying, he was saying it basically in different ways, but he kept saying stuff like, this was more difficult than anything I could have ever fathomed or whatever. And it's like, is it really? You're just working with your ex-girlfriend. It's not that hard to imagine that would be a difficult situation. Like,
superheroes do it all the time. They have to because it's decades of canon. So they've basically dated everyone.
It's like, it just makes it sound like you have not had much life experience. If like, this is harder than anything I could have ever dreamed of. And like, really? Yeah,
I kind of...
Because you've already been dealing with it for months.
I kind of wanted another universe for Rogue and Gambit to just be looking, like, being like, there's something that's annoying me right now. Someone who's acting like our sort of deal is so much harder.
Yeah.
Or so, you know what I mean? Like, how many other exes have had to work together in superhero teams?
Man, that guy that plays Mon-El would be a really good Gambit.
I'm a little afraid to hear his Cajun accent, well, but I think...
Not even... Let's forget that part. Let's just... I'm just saying, like...
Oh, okay.
If we just dressed him up, be like, yeah, that guy really looks like Gambit.
He'd do a good cosplay.
Yeah.
Gambit. I can see that. Yeah. But, yeah, I...
This is how desperate we are for something to talk about in this episode.
I know. But, yeah, I'm... But I will say, I think you were the one who... Or maybe it was me. I can't remember. But a few episodes ago, we both suggested that maybe there's something else the Legion is doing.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, it wasn't just a... There was a reason. It's probably to help Kara out or something.
Yeah.
And Mon-El did not know about it. And
which
I'm sure
seems weird.
More conflict.
Seems very...
Yeah, it does.
Like, you guys embarked on this whole thing and you're not going to tell your leader guy? Just seems weird. I'm sure they'll have some explanation for it, but...
Maybe he's not so much a leader as just, like, the face of it, so that everybody else can...
He's actually, like, the mascot, and they just tell him he's the leader. They're like, oh, he's dumb. Let's pretend he's... let him think he's in charge.
It's like the president from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the president of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, he's more of a figurehead. People really like him to go and like, and do events and stuff, but like, he doesn't really lead anyone.
Oh, it just seemed like they were finally making some progress on all of these characters. Kind of like, Mon-El was starting to seem like he actually had aged 7 years and matured and like...
It says a lot that when he was like, and I used to be this, like, this mean chauvinist, of course I'm not anymore. I'm like, it's bad that you have to tell us this.
Yeah.
Well, that you feel like you need to say it.
Yeah.
So that we are clear that you are not that anymore. And also the fact that they actually say, oh yeah, I was misogynist last season. But like, then why did you try so hard for us to like him, show? Yeah. I still don't understand. This felt like a lot of spinning wheels, and it was frustrating. And I want them to just move on from this and get into something else with the show. And I don't know if this is going to be the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So that's a bummer.
Yeah. I really hope that, they will move on from this. From after having this, you know, like, oh, here's what's really going on. After, like, all right, we've killed enough time. We had this, like, throwaway episode that was in the middle of what otherwise would have been, like, a four-month hiatus. Because it was like, you know, they did, like, one episode in January, one episode in February, and then the next one's not until the middle of April. And if it wasn't for this episode, there just would have been... But also, why bother putting, like, just a here's just a random... new episode in the middle of these. I would love to know more about like how the network and these shows are run, just so you know. Maybe it would completely change our point of view. All we have to go on is, you know, all we have to go on is what we're seeing.
We're being too mean to the CW, clearly.
Well, no, I mean, like, I'm you know, that's like outside of the quality of the show. I mean, it definitely does...
The how the sausage gets made sort of stuff.
Yeah, sometimes I think it was just like, oh, if we knew some of this stuff, maybe if people were more sort of you know, forthcoming with some of these things, it would help you empathize with what they're going through when you have these pointless episodes, or, you know, these episodes where it's like, you know, why are you just, this feels like stuff happened, but nothing really happened. And also there's just, it also, it like, I mean, I know why with some of these things, but there was like a lot of stuff in this episode. It felt like where they could have done something and they were like, well, we can't actually do that, 'cause that would, you know, then like show's over. Like, why didn't Rain just go ahead and kill Alex right there?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did she go take me with you? Like, also, but I could just, I feel like we could watch the episode like real time and just go, okay, why this? Why did you do this? Why, what? I just have a lot of questions that I don't feel like we'll ever get answers to. And it's not questions that they were intending for us to ask, you know?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, all right, that's the end of the episode, and...
So, the other thing I thought was interesting, because we've talked before about how Sam has kind of been... Sam has been kind of brought into the fold, and we weren't sure about the timeline in terms of some of the friendships. Obviously, Kara and Alex have only known her a short time, but we weren't sure about Lena. And I will say it was kind of nice for us to get a little more clarity on their relationship. And also, it does make sense why she can afford the house she does, because it's apparently she was like the VP of another company that then got bought. So it was, she was in a position of authority, but wasn't necessarily running like a multi corporation. And the fact that Lena has known Sam for at least a few years and clearly trusts her.
Well, they didn't ever say years, did they? I mean, they didn't ever actually, I mean, that could have been right before that.
That's true. But it just made me, the way that they said it, I got the implication that they've known each other for a while.
Which, yeah, I'm so fine with
it
that.
it felt like actually a little bit of clarity on that, and I liked the fact that it really also says a little bit about Lena as a boss, because we've seen her make like some questionable choices as a boss, but I like the fact that she sees the potential in people most of the time. And like, and the fact that she's very, that as a female business owner, she saw the potential of this person, you know, that other people had overlooked. So I don't know. It was a nice moment. And maybe I am like trying to pull things from this episode that we were kind of frustrated with.
Yeah.
But I liked that moment, and it was, and I thought it was a nice little like relationship.
Yeah.
Building.
Yeah, it gives us a little bit of backstory on them, on what they're,
and I'd rather it been now than have it been when Sam was first introduced, because they could have easily done that and it would have been more of showing not telling, or telling not showing. And this one, it felt, I thought it was at least a little bit better that they acted like they knew and trusted each other really well, and then later on gave more details.
Why not? So I mean, you could have also just had, like, why not have, when they first introduced her, instead of having her just show up in the office, why not have Lena, have a scene where Lena goes and tells her, like, goes to where she is at whatever her job was before that. Not, like, whatever she was doing before she got put in charge of L Corp, and go, hey, I'm about to take over this new thing. We've been friends for blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like, I know you're a, what I'm, and show that scene of where you get to see them interact before she has that job, and see what their relationship is like as she's going, I'm picking you for this position. Whatever, who cares? That's like,
yeah.
I don't know. Oh, here's another thing. And this has bothered me in other episodes before, but speaking of the scene with the two of them, this is like the second scene with the two of them, but when she shows up at where she shows back up at her office and is like, I got your text that said Ruby was with you. Like, every time one of these things happens, where was she when she got that text? I just want to know what's going on. Like, when she, you know, when she showed up to Alex's in that other episode where Alex was keeping Ruby, when she shows up and is like, you know, she got your text while she was driving, and didn't even remember she was supposed to be picking her up or something. And it's like, where did you think you were going before that? Where, like, maybe they just don't know what the deal is, like, how to, or there's not enough time to explain it. I feel very frustrated. The more we're talking about it, the more frustrated I feel by this episode.
Yeah, there's also,
I don't think I felt this frustrated before. There's
also the bit of, like, I know, and it's funny because, like, for some reason, this didn't faze me quite as much, but I've also been very annoyed at other episodes that you were just like, about.
Yeah.
So it's a good mix. We're always, on average, a little frustrated. But, no, the thing that bothered me that's kind of connected is when she's on the ice skating with her daughter. Which, I will say one of my favorite little, like, mini moments of the episode that I did enjoy was when she says, like, yeah, we're going to go out and have we're going to go ice skating and have a mom dog. And the daughter goes, hell yeah. And she's like, you got one hell yeah. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm letting you have one. And then she goes, okay. It was a very, like, that felt like an incredibly genuine, like, mother-daughter moment. Yeah, I liked that.
I did too.
But anyway, So they're ice skating.
See, we can still find things we like.
Yeah, you know, 5-second intervals in the middle. So they're ice skating, and you know something's going to happen anyway, but, like, she feels the presence, which, again, I mean, I'll get to my point, but, like, it's weird that she doesn't, like, go specifically to the lab. Or to, you know, their headquarters, because that's what I thought. Instead, she goes to, like, the weird exposition evil mom lady.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, the hologram-esque kind of person, which felt weird. It's like, why don't, like, I thought it was going to be like, oh, you thought, I thought Purity was going to be like, oh, you thought you were using the crystal to find Rain, but I was using the crystal to bring Rain to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought was going to happen. And it just felt like, instead, it was this disjointed steps of her getting, like, leaving and then getting on the train. It was very awkward. But I will say this. The thing that did bug me about that scene before I found out that it was going to get, you know, disjointed, when Sam and Ruby are ice skating and she gets that signal, and then Ruby turns around and she's gone. What did everybody else see?
I assume she's just like, it was like so super speed that it's like she just disappeared.
No one noticed?
But people aren't, like, even paying attention.
But also, like, she was in the middle of the rink. Someone was facing her. If someone just zapped out of the way, you would have noticed. She clearly didn't fly because, like,
there's no holes in the roof or whatever.
Yeah. Or, like, no one freaked out about that. It just, like, the timeline for it, I would have almost been even okay if we heard, like, a whoosh or something to imply that she didn't just disappear, because that felt, like, cheap. But it's exactly the same thing where, like, she just magically appears back and we don't see her kind of connect with herself again.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that it would have been worth it to have her kind of go back to where, like, to,
so,
like
when Purity,
I don't know.
When Purity comes out of it, she's like, what's going on? Like, where am I? Like, what is happening? You know, like, you see that a little bit, but it's like with Sam, you never have that moment with her. It's always just like she shows up somewhere like, oh, I can't believe I'm late. Or, you know, where you never have that moment of her going like, wait, where am I? How did I get here? There's none of that. It's always just her walking into a room and then someone going like, what do you mean you didn't go on this trip?
Yeah. And it was okay for the first few episodes. Like, but it would be nice to see exactly what that transition is like.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that it is worth it for, it would give her so much meat to the character if you saw her eyes kind of flicker back in and then her realize that something, like, that's a terrifying moment. And then her, like, immediately checking her cell phone because it's like, it happened again. What did I miss? What happened?
Or just trying to see, like, how long was that? When's the last thing I remember? And she doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't. Also, the fact that she, like, goes, I just saw your text as she's, like, coming in, and she went straight there. She didn't call Lena and go, where's Ruby? I'll go straight to where Ruby is because I'm worried about her. Not like...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we couldn't get the daughter for another scene, so we had to have the scene set in the office. You know, like, we'd already had the daughter on set too long. She had to go home. So it's just like, in that situation, her number one concern should be Ruby. And that she's running to where Lena is to find out where Ruby is instead of... You said you saw the text. Like, call her. Call her and then go there. Like, what... Anyway... I get frustrated and like upset about some of this stuff, and then it sort of feels like, you know, like there's no point. Why it just feels pointless to get upset about it, because it's like they're living in this universe with no common sense.
And I think the frustrating thing about it is, it wouldn't be that hard or that many changes to just adjust it a little bit.
Yeah.
And you could actually make this be really compelling and terrifying. And it's almost there in some parts. Like, we've talked about this before, that there are parts of this whole plot line that actually kind of work, but they take these shortcuts in the storytelling and it ends up not being at its fullest. And so we end up seeing these parts where, like, well, why didn't they just do that? You know? Yeah. And I think part of it too is that we keep seeing a lot of the same ones again, over and over again.
Yeah.
So those moments lose their impact. Like, every time it doesn't feel like anything's escalating in terms of her terror about this. And so every time we see her again be afraid, it's not like, it feels like nothing's moving forward necessarily.
Yeah.
Or not enough, because we're only finally getting Lena to apparently think she knows what's happening, even though I'm assuming she doesn't, and it's some other.
She's going to think it's something else. Yeah, I was going to ask if you thought that she was, if she actually knows what's going on, or the way that she was like, I know what's wrong, I'm going to fix it. And it's like,
makes me think, no, yeah.
She's going to think it's something else, and yeah, who knows.
I wonder if it's something, if she thinks it's something that happened to Lex, too, because there's something about that that made me think that it was something involving her family.
Right.
I don't know why. We'll see if my premonitions for the season continue. It was, so, yeah, there were a few parts that I didn't mind. Like I said, I think the fact that we're seeing the next episode next week probably made me less annoyed at this, because I don't, you know, it was a middling episode, but I don't have to wait 2 months
to find out where they're going next with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm curious if they're going to actually do anything with the Legion now. I'm also curious if they're going to, the other thing that could happen is that they take care of the stuff with Rain early, and then whatever the Legion is doing, if it's not related to Rain, will be specifically the ending, whatever they're doing with that. I'm interested to see if this is going to be pulled together. I will say that we did find out this past week that Supergirl is getting another season.
Yeah.
So they're definitely not going to be like wrapping things up entirely.
Right.
You
know, if you've just got to waste an episode, why not just have a whole episode with John and his dad exploring
stuff? I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been really nice. And like, they could take the shapes, the spaceship car. They got that.
Yeah.
They got that prop, so they could drive that around. They could maybe help out some kids somewhere. Like, they need to. There's some kind of small problem that needs to be fixed, and the two space dads could team up.
Yeah, or just let the That'd Legion go cute. Deal with something.
Well, then they'd have to show Brainy, and they don't want to show Brainy in the costume.
Yeah, but I'm assuming that they, you know, they're just like going, we got to fill some episodes, and we don't want to.
That would have been really good. And then what they could have done was maybe like, oh, you know what they could have done? They could have done this. So they could have had the Legion go out on a call or something, or like, because Supergirl's is doing all this stuff with this world killer, and maybe they have Wynn go out with them, or John, and do something, and there's some tension between, if they wanted to still do the love triangle stuff from this week, they could have had Saturn Girl and Mon-El have some friction, and then whoever the confidant that's not in the Legion, who's there, is told then, you know, because they're like, do you want to talk about it? You just seem like you need someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And then they can do that whole thing. And then there's something action focused instead of let's fix this part on the ship.
Yeah. Oh man.
Which was like, yeah.
Also, I love how it seems like there's no one in the DEO, but like it's supposed to be like this huge organization. And then there's like three people in it. No one else is like working on this stuff.
I will give them props. I will give them props that I think I saw some female SWAT members at that beginning scene, which I like the fact that there's some gender parity in, like, the background characters. But it does seem really weird that, like, the only scientists that work on it are like, the two cast members that are friends with Kara.
And, like, no one else is, like, working on the ship. You know, when Mon-El is like, hey, I need your help with something. And it's like, you couldn't get one of
also
the...
Also, they did cast other Legion members, right? Like, they are going to bring them in. Like, I know, because they showed marketing stuff for one of the other Legion members.
Right.
So, like the fire-based one, I think? Or electric... I don't remember, because I don't know the characters. Yes.
Okay.
He is apparently going to be on. Like, they have cast him. He's part of the marketing that they did back in the fall.
He's one of the founding members of the Legion of Superheroes. It's like,
well,
I mean, in comics.
I mean, I was going to say, if we're going by that, then we should have gotten the Wasp in the Avengers movie, and that clearly didn't happen. So, but
I just meant like it makes sense for a character for them to bring in. It's like, yeah, because he's one of the big ones. It's like you would have, I mean, it's basically like Mon-El has taken Cosmic Boy's spot in this show as being the one who's the guy in the middle.
But what I was going to say was the other line that I thought was actually pretty good was when they figure out what the problem was, is that they were, that at some point in the future, they had gone to the metric system, and that's what gives Wynn hope for America, is that someday we finally go to the metric system.
Well, I thought they said something like that wherever that battery or whatever was from was like on a 12 point, or like on a, it's in 12s instead of 10s, so that's why they kept messing it up, but it's like Brainiac couldn't have taken care of that, like, couldn't have figured that out sooner. Like, also,
Brainiac needed to get his hair done, clearly.
Y'all keep talking about how smart this guy is, and then he never does anything, and you have these technical problems that he never fixed, you know, that he's not there fixing. I don't get why, if it's the ship is so impossible to fix, if you've got a guy that's some, you know, mega hyper genius, computer for a brain.
Yeah, this is why I said that they shouldn't have even made it a ship. They should have had it be some other task they have to do.
Yeah, just say that they're there for some reason. Don't have like, we can't fix the ship, bummer. And because like, even if you're saying like, oh, it's too, you know, oh, the parts don't exist yet. It's like, well, then don't have the guy that's a super genius. Don't bring him. Have Lightning Lad there instead of Brainiac. Because like, why else did...
I gotta believe they're doing something with him. And I'll be really bummed out if they don't, because why would you bring
him? Yeah, exactly.
Especially because so many of the people, not every person who watches Supergirl, but a lot of the people who watch Supergirl are aware and have watched the Justice League show. And yeah, this version of Brainiac, or like essentially this version of Brainiac, was only on like a short amount of time on that show, but people still know if people know the character, it's probably from that.
Yeah.
So you have this thing where like he had a relationship with Supergirl and we've barely seen it. And now he's not. I am so frustrated by how he keeps not being on screen. And we only have so many episodes left in the season. And why are they not just using this like addition to the cast in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I still like this show. I don't know if we've said this recently.
Yeah, I started to say earlier, like this show. Is a show we like. I think it's
I swear.
It's that thing of, you know, we want this show to be as good as we feel like it can be. This is a show with potential, and we've seen the show be really good.
I continue to miss Cat Grant, and I think that that's still like, that was such a loss for the show. I really wish she was doing more than guest appearances.
Yeah.
So, it was a real loss for the show. So, man, this is a downer. Luckily, we'll be back soon. I am, like Kara, I am eternally hopeful about the prospects coming up. I'm hoping that they can get their butts in gear and start actually making this plot work.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, it takes so little for us to get excited about things. Like, you really...
I know, we're a very easy audience.
Yeah, and it's just like, when you see... And it's really, that's what's so frustrating about it. Because we're never just like, ugh, I hate this. It's frustrating. It's not like it's just bad. It's frustrating. Because it's so close, on so many occasions, it's so close to being much better than it is. With things that could just be like very small tweaks could make some of this parts of the show so much better. And that's the thing, is it's like, we're never just like out and out down on the show. All of this stuff is always, it's things where you just want to pull your hair out. Cause it's like, guys, you're so close. Like, this is, oh, why did you do this? You know, like if you just made this tiny little change, it would make all of this work so much better, you know? And it's not like it's not like we're geniuses. We're not bragging about how we're 12th level intellects. We're not, you know, if we can figure out something that's like such a minor thing that would improve some of this stuff so much more, it's like, oh, you people who are getting paid huge amounts of money to do this should think of these things also. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I feel like we have so much, you know, belief in, and so much, we want this show to be as good as it can be. We want this show to be as good as all the faith we've put into it, you know?
I can't decide if we're like Superman and wanting mankind to be held up, or if we're like Batman and we want Gotham and the people of Gotham to show that they're actually good. That was my
I could tell.
At the end, they're not gonna blow up the boats because they're good.
Goodness, I'm not gonna start doing that impression because then I'll just want to be talking like that for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's how you lose your voice. You don't want to lose your voice.
Exactly.
God, no, we have more podcasting to do. We can't lose our voices now. We're all caught up.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think we've given this episode more than enough.
So much.
Yeah.
Yes.
We really could have, like, at that, you know, earlier when I was like, yeah, okay, that's the end. I feel like we could have stopped there and that also would have been fine. But,
but then I wouldn't have gone into reference to Dark Knight. So that's true. Fine.
And also, you know, I will say, and I think that this is always why it stays fun doing this show, even when I don't necessarily like the episodes, is that when you watch this and you're frustrated by it, it is like cathartic to then when we talk about it and you're able to like find like, because sometimes when I'm just watching it, oftentimes when we're talking about this stuff is when I discover why something bothers me or like why I liked something. Because when you're just watching it, the stuff's just hitting you. You know, your feelings are just happening as you're watching it. And I try to not be, believe it or not, I try to not be overly critical about something or like overly analytical about something while I'm watching it. I try to just, it's not like I try to shut off my brain, but I try to just go, let me try to good faith watch this in good faith and just let it happen and see where I go from there. And I'm not always successful because lots of times I'm seeing stuff and just going like, why are you doing this? Or like, this doesn't make any sense. But so it always is, it's kind of nice. It's very nice When we talk about these things and you see the answers sort of coming into focus out of the, you know, coming in out of the fog and going like, oh, that's why this bothered me so much. Or going like, oh, that's why that didn't make sense. And because you could have just done this one little tweak and would have made it make so much more sense. And hopefully, man, I don't know. I can't speak for any of the listeners, but I hope that that's sometimes watching the show and then listening to us, you're having that same kind of conversation in your own mind, and it's, you know, you're, and it's helping you come to terms with some of those things as well.
I was about to say, are you suggesting to all of our listeners that they should all start Supergirl podcasts?
I'm saying they should save themselves the time and effort and headache of dealing with all of the stuff that goes with running a podcast, and just enjoy. Let us take them on that journey. Anyway, so I don't, hopefully this will be up before the event has passed, but Katie, tell them where you're going to be this weekend.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely, I actually have an event two nights, so I don't think you're going to, and then even if people listen, I think by the time they finish listening, it'll be over. I'm doing a pre C2E2, Catwoman panel, at the bookseller tonight. So if you're there, I hope you enjoyed yourself. but if you're at C2E2, and this goes up before C2E2, I'm going to be walking around the con on Friday and Sunday, but on Saturday I'm going to be at table Q6 with Chad Sell, who I made a book with called The Cardboard Kingdom. I think that it's safe to say now, I don't know if we've officially announced it, but we actually have some little mini prints that we're giving away for free. And we also have the hardcover for display. We cannot actually sell it yet. But as far as I know, anybody who comes to the table can give it a peek and maybe see.
Then immediately go and pre-order their copy?
Yes, exactly. I believe the prints will actually have information on the back that will tell you how you can do that and all the exciting stuff going on with it. So, and also you'll get to see see me and see Chad and ask us questions. And Chad will also have his Drag Race prints as well. So if you're a Drag Race fan, you should buy all of his stuff. And hopefully this, like I said, hopefully this episode will be edited and put up with no problems.
Knock on wood.
And you'll actually be able to hear this this promotional thing before the con is over.
I will do everything within my power to make sure it gets up in time for C2E2.
Do your best, but you know what? If people are hearing this and you saw me over the weekend, hi! Thank you for stopping by the table. And it was very nice to meet you. Go pre-order my
Katie
book.
Tell Katie that if you're a listener of the show and you see her at C2E2, tell her.
Yes!
Tell her that you enjoy the show.
Please do so that we're more motivated to get these out on time.
Well, it's just always nice getting that little bit of feedback. Or you can just tweet it at us or... email us, all that stuff.
Encourage us in any way possible, because it definitely helps.
And what else should they know about Katie?
I have an upcoming project, another comic that'll be coming out probably in May online with John Troutman. And once again, my book is coming out on June 5th. It's Cardboard Kingdom. It has gotten some very nice early reviews. And the most recent one was this week from the school library journal that called it a must read. So wow. That's exciting. I'm pretty pumped. No pressure or anything. Just really, really good, really good feedback. So please check that out, and hopefully I'll see you at the convention this weekend. Not you, Chris, because I know you're not coming, but you, the listener.
I will be busy with a lot of wrestling to do This is a very big wrestling weekend for me.
Yeah.
So
you're becoming a professional wrestler. That's what you're basically telling me.
Yeah, that's my big announcement. Starting a little late in the game, but you know, it's fine. It's fine. There's been guys who started later and gone on to very big success. So I can only think of one, but you know, that gives me hope. I'm not actually, please don't think that's serious. but anyway.
I'm on Twitter, just plain tweets, and I don't know, I have a Patreon, that's fine. But I've taken up enough time. Chris, where can they find you?
Just look at all the stuff in the show notes. I'm on Twitter and all the places. It's fine. Go to, if you want to hear the shows early, you can always check out patreon.com/thechrishaley. It's where all the episodes of this and all my other shows go up ahead of time. There's also, you can get cool stuff in the mail, all that stuff. Thank you guys. Everyone for, I'll just go ahead and say on behalf of all of our Patreon supporters, for both of our Patreon accounts, thank you so much. I don't have the list. I was gonna say we should read all of everybody's names and thank them, but I forgot about that. I thought about
maybe
that.
Maybe we can start doing that.
We should start. But you doing know what? That.
Thank you to anybody who listened to this part. The best fans of our podcast are the ones who don't stop when we start promoting our stuff, but who listen to the very end.
Absolutely.
You are the special secret best listeners of this podcast.
The ones who go,
no one else knows about
it. Yeah. I've got to listen to the whole thing because I want to hear what they're promoting this week. And I need to hear what the tag after the song is. I need to see what little joke or what little thing is going to end up there. Thank you so much. Just if you listen to this, all of you, you're wonderful. We couldn't be more thankful for you. And I guess we'll see you next time for more Supergirl Gab.
Bye, everybody. Hello again, and welcome to Supergirl Gab, the podcast where we watch the CW... so close. Okay. Gonna take another step. That network, why did they name it something that was so easy to mess up? All right.
I wonder, what does the CW even stand for?
I forget. I don't...
It does stand for something, though?
I think it has to. Why else would they call it that?
Yeah, I can't imagine.